All right, let's turn tonight to Revelation 5. All right, we did chapter 4 last Wednesday night, and I want us to look tonight at chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. All right, let's go back to chapter 4, verse 11. And in chapter 4, verse 11, we read these words, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." All right, so the reason for the book of the Revelation, you may remember, is to show us the Lord Jesus. All right, that's what this book is all about. If you'll go back to chapter 1 for just a moment, in verse 1 it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and all these things and all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." All right, so this book, if you'll look back at verse 1, this book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the whole purpose for the book is to reveal to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now we started a year or 2 years ago, looking in the book of Genesis. And we started at chapter 1 in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And we saw where man sinned against God. And when man sinned against God, God promised Adam and Eve that he was going to send a redeemer. He promised that he would send a redeemer, his redeemer. Now, the whole rest of the Bible is geared towards getting the Redeemer here. All right, and now the Lord has come, and he has accomplished what he came to do. He came to die. He came to give his life as a ransom for our sin. And then once he did that, he ascended back to the Father in heaven with the promise that he was coming again. All right, so that's what this revelation is all about. It is going to reveal to us the Lord Jesus coming back, fulfilling in its entirety the promise that God gave in Genesis 3:15 about a redeemer. All right, so look at this through the whole. All right, let your mind see the overall here, and not just one single event. Okay, and in verse 11 of chapter 4. We see that we are in heaven. We are with the Lord in heaven, and these beasts that are in heaven around the throne, they are saying along with 4 and 20 elders, and I think that's us. I think that 4 and 20 elders represents us. And the reason I say that in verse 10, you will notice it says that they fell down before him that sat on the throne, that's the Lord, and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And now this next part, and cast their crowns before the throne. All right, so we are going to cast our crowns, the crowns that we win. There are five of them that you can win here as you serve. And we're going to cast our crowns before the Lord Jesus. And we're going to say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. And then here's his purpose. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. All right, so that's just a few things I thought you needed to be aware of as we start in now to chapter 5. And so in chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, pay attention to this now, and no, what's the next word? Man, no man in heaven, please get that, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And John said, And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. All right, now let me just stop right there and let's pray for a moment. And then I'm going to entitle our Bible study tonight, Worthy is the Lamb. All right, worthy is the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, thank you now so much for your word, and I pray that you will bless it tonight. Well, I pray that you will just give us understanding of what we are about to hear, and I pray that your word will be clear. Father, help me to say what I need to say in order to make it clear. So fill me with your spirit. And help me tonight. I need your blessing. I need your help. And Father, I pray that we'll clearly see the person of our wonderful Savior as we look at this fifth chapter this evening. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to apologize right up front. I was getting my medications. I have a pill that I have to take for my blood pressure and heart rate, metoprolol, and I have to take one of those every evening. I have to take a half of one in the morning and then a whole one in the evening. So I was getting that pill, and I was not thinking, and so I took that one, just popped it in my mouth, and then I have two others that I have to take after service because they dry up my voice and make me real raspy and scratchy. And I wasn't even thinking, right in, and swallowed them down. And then I went, uh-oh, but it's too late. So I'll try to keep oiled up here, all right? So that I don't drive you nuts. All right, let's think about now this amazing chapter, Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5 is a continuation of the events that were discussed and that were dealt with in chapter 4. Now, you'll remember in chapter 4, we had a picture of the rapture of the church in verse 1. And then we were all in verse 4 standing around the throne. And the Lord was sitting on the throne. All right. And so we were up there just praising the Lord. And there were these beasts that were there around the throne. And in verse 7. And these four beasts had six wings. They were full of eyes within, and they did not rest day or night. Their whole job, their whole reason that God created them was so they could continually praise God. And that's what they did. They continually praised God. They cried day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And folks, I want you to know they're still up there right now while we are here, and they are crying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," which was, which is, and which is to come. So that was us at the around the throne. Everything's focused in chapter 4 around the throne, and the raptured saints are there. All of us are there. All right, so what we have now in chapter 5 is simply a continuation of the events of the things that were that happened in chapter 4. In other words, we are all gathered around the throne of God, and we will all witness this just absolutely amazing thing that happens in this fifth chapter. The grandeur of the setting is incomparable. There is nothing like it, folks. I mean, you've got the throne of God, and around this throne there is an event that is going to transpire that is going to determine, it is going to reveal the destiny of the world. It's the world's creator is sitting upon this throne. This throne that is established in heaven, he is sitting upon that throne, and there is an emerald rainbow that is surrounded by the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. There are the living creatures, the beasts, that cherubim and seraphim that are flying around and worshiping God. There are all the angels of heaven that are there, and they are all shouting praises to the Lord. And then, of course, there's us, the redeemed saints of all the ages. Now, listen very carefully to this. God the Father, who is with God the Son, the Lord Jesus, on the throne, has a scroll in his right hand. And an angel is flying around all over heaven, and he is shouting, he is crying out, "Who is worthy to open this scroll?" And as they searched through heaven and earth and even under the earth, which means in the realm of the dead, in hell, as they searched under the earth, there was found none worthy to open the scroll, the book. Nobody was found worthy. And I want you to notice, again, I point out to you, verse 3, it's that angel said, and no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book. So there was not a man anywhere. No man. Everybody got that? No man was worthy to open the book. And so John wept. He wept. He knew what this book was and how important it was. And so he began to weep. And one of the elders came to John and said to him, "Don't weep. Don't weep, because there is one who is worthy." Now watch, no man is worthy, but there is one who is worthy. There is one, only one, who is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And of course, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went on to say, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now you remember the first time he came as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And when he comes the second time, though, he will come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he came the first time as the Lamb from Judah, but now he will come the second time as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so the elder said that that the Lion has prevailed, and he's the root of David. You can trace his lineage back to David. So in other words, he is worthy to sit on the throne. He has the right to sit upon the throne because he is from the lineage of David. And then he went on to say that he is God's Lamb who came and bled and died and was buried and then raised again victorious over death. The one who is seated on the throne is worthy. That's our Savior, folks, and he is worthy. All right, so let's now look at this and see what the Lord, what the Holy Spirit of God is showing us in this fifth chapter. All right, let's look at this scroll and the heavenly scene that surrounds it. Just in your mind's eye, I want you to picture all this, all right? I don't know how you see heaven, but in your mind's eye, I want you to see the throne. I want you to see the river of life coming out of that throne. I want you to see the beast over top the throne, and they are hovering and crying, "Holy, holy, holy." I want you to see all the angels of heaven, and they're all at attention, and they're looking upon the throne. I want you to see in your mind's eye all of us, the redeemed of all the ages, and we're standing there looking upon our Savior as though a lamb who had been slain from the foundation of the world. So I want you to see all that in your mind's eye. Now, as you look at the scene, I want you to notice that there is a scroll in his hand. There is a scroll. He is holding a scroll. Now, back in the first century AD, they did not have books. They had parchments. They had vellum skins, and they would write on them, and then they would roll them up and keep them in a little box. And that was a scroll, and you just simply opened it up and you read it. Now, with this scroll, you're going to see in the chapters ahead, there were actually 21 pages. All right? There's actually 21 pages to this. And when you start flipping, you have first in chapter 6, verse 1, you have the seven seals that are in that book. And so what are those seven seals? Well, they're judgment. Their judgment. They are the Lord sending wrath and judgment upon the earth. And so you get through 6, and then you notice that number 7 has a seal on it. So you break that seal, and then you get 7 more. All right? And then what are they? Well, they are the trumpet judgments. All right, trumpet judgments are next, and there's 7 of those. All right, and so you get what are they? They're judgments. They're the Lord sending wrath upon the earth. So then you get through 7 of those, and you see another seal, and he breaks that seal, and then you have the bowl, the vial judgments. And they are judgments poured out upon the world. All right, so everybody got that? So you've got over a period of 7 years, you've got all this wrath and this judgment, and every one of those are wrapped up, folded in that scroll. All right, nod your heads. Everybody got that? All right, now, with that understanding, with that in mind, what is this scroll? Well, this remarkable scroll it's the center of focus in this chapter. It is the center of focus. All attention is directed upon that scroll. But the question is, what is it? Now, there are many opinions that have been developed and spoken about through the centuries, but I'm going to give you offer you my personal understanding of what all this means. In my opinion, I think the scroll is the title deed of the earth itself. I think it's the title deed of the earth itself. All right, now, you live in a house, and in all probability, you had to take out a loan in order to buy your house. And when you did, the bank took the deed to your house and they kept it. But then 180 years later, when you paid off your mortgage, all right, that's about right, isn't it? All right, when you paid off your mortgage, then they mailed you your deed. And then you stood and stared at it, probably framed it, maybe hung it on the wall, I don't know. But now it's yours. Okay, you possess it. It has been, listen to me, paid in full. All right, everybody got that? It's been paid in full. And so, in my opinion, this scroll is the title deed to the earth. All right, now, let your mind work. You see the scene? All right, now, who has that scroll? The Lord does. The Lord does. All right? Now, let me just help you with you fill in the blanks here. All right? John, our author here, said in his gospel that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? All right. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God, and He was God. All right. He was God. He is God. All right. Jesus is God. Now, do you remember? This is Bible study, so let's just go back and check it ourselves, all right? Go to Psalm 24 for just a second. Psalm 24. Psalm 24. All right, and verse 1. Notice, Psalm 24, verse 1. All right, what's it say? Let's all read it, that first little phrase there. The earth is the Lord's. Now, whose is it? The Lord's. Now, you'll notice that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. That's the God of the covenant. That's the God of redemption right there. Every time you see capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, you know that that's Jehovah God. All right? And so the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Now watch this. For He, the Lord, hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. So, in other words, the Lord created it. Now, if you create something, it's yours, right? Now, let's go back to Genesis 1. Go back to Genesis 1. All right, stay with me. I'm going somewhere. When I get there, you're going to say, oh, we're there. And you're going to like it. All right, look, please, if you will, at verse 26 of chapter 1. And God said, let, what's the next word? Us. Who's us? The Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us, that's neat, isn't it? And God said, let us make man in our image, after our, plural, likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. All right? Not 37 different genders. Two, male and female. You're welcome. Verse 28, watch this now. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have, what's the next word? Dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So what do we see here? Well, what we see here is that God created everything. He even created Adam and Eve. All right? Created it all. And then God said to him, Adam, I'm going to give you dominion over all that I have. I'm going to give you dominion over. But wait a minute. Whose is it? It's the Lord's. He created it. But he gave man dominion over his creation. In other words, man was supposed to run everything. He had dominion over everything. Man was going to till the ground and produce. Man was going to name the animals. He was going to name the fish. I mean, he was going to do everything. He was going to trim the trees and prune the trees so that they produce more. He was going to just do everything. But then something happened, didn't it? You remember chapter 3? All right, the old serpent came along and he questioned the word of God. That's what the devil does. He questions God's word, and he got them both to sin. They sinned against God. And when they did, I want you to look, please, at verse 7 of chapter 3. It says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they sinned against God. They sinned against God. Now, when they sinned against God, something else happened. All right? Go over, please, now to the New Testament, to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm going to show you what happened. Paul tells us here what happened. All right, chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want you to look, please, at verse 4. Paul said, in whom the, what's the next word? God, but notice it's small g. It's not, in other words, he's not the God of this world because he did anything to be God. He didn't. He can't. He can't. He's a created being himself. Okay? So, but the verse says, in whom the small g God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what we see here, yes, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and by divine fiat, By the fact that God created the heaven and the earth, it's his. All right? He then gave dominion to man. But then man turned around and sinned, and the devil got the dominion. All right? You got that? Now, I've told you before, this is not Christian America. Oh, I cringe every time I hear that. Well, you know, here in Christian America, where's that? No Christian America. It's heathen America. It's ungodly America. It's godless America. That's where we live, folks. And why is that? Well, because Satan is the god of this world. You see, listen carefully now, Satan stole away the lease that God gave us, that God gave to man. The devil stole the lease, and it is the devil who rules men. Men do not rule the earth. The devil rules men. Now, we think, some of us think we do, all right? But they don't. It's the devil that rules the hearts of men. And now, in this chapter, and it was stated way back here in chapter 3, verse 15, when man sinned and God said, I am going to send a redeemer. What was he saying? He is saying, I am going to get back what the devil has stolen from me. All right? Is everybody following that? And so now, in this fifth chapter, God is preparing to take back what Satan has stolen from him. And with this scroll, oh, get this now, with this scroll, he holds, God holds, because it's his, he created it. God holds, the Lord holds the deed of the earth in his hand. Now, there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you that will support this. You see, the call went forth for someone to come and open the scroll. But they couldn't find anybody. There was all the angels of God, the seraphim, the cherubim, all Gabriel, Michael, all of them. They were all just standing there looking down. They knew they weren't worthy. They knew they weren't worthy. Well, they didn't create anything. And so that angel's flying around. Who's worthy? Who's worthy? And everybody bows their head. Man, you're going to have yours bowed. You're going to know you're not worthy. I'm going to have mine bowed. I'm going to know I'm not worthy. Who's worthy? And so John begins to weep. He thinks, oh my, if we don't open this scroll up, if we don't open the deed up and claim what's ours, what's God's, if that scroll is not opened up, we're in trouble. All right? And so he starts to weep. And so the angel said to John, John, don't cry. Don't weep. There's one that's worthy. One. Man, I'm glad he is, aren't you? Because none of us are. So when the call went out, John wept because no man was worthy. But the Lord Jesus was worthy. Now, when the seals on the scroll were eventually broken, what happened? Well, then disaster overtakes the earth. So the right to rule the earth is now decided at the throne of God once and for all. You see that? It's now decided once and for all who's in charge. And folks, that is what this fifth chapter is all about. Again, the earth is the Lord's, but an intruder, an alien, a stranger now has rule over what belongs to God. He now has rule over what belongs to God. And in chapter 5 of the last book of the Bible, we have a description of how the Lord is going to get what's his back. All right, does that make sense to everybody? So that's what this is. All right, that's what this is. This world was not created for the devil. It was not created for him. Hell was created for him. This earth was created for man, but man messed it up. And so God is now, in this chapter, going to get back what is his. All right, now I don't have time to do this, but I'll go over it quickly, and then you can do the rest of it, the study of it yourself. Turn back to Leviticus 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Man, it's 5 after already. And I started early. I started 25 after. Ooh. All right. Leviticus, third book of the Bible, page 163. All right. Chapter 25. That's right after 24. You're welcome. Now look, please, at verse 8. All right. Now, here, let's look at the law in this matter. All right? Let's look at the law in this issue, in this matter of who owns what. All right? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, "And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. Now, how many years is that? 49, exactly right. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month as the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall," what's the next word? Hallow, sanctify, make holy. "And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty." Do you see that? "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you." Watch this now. So every 50 years, it says, "And ye shall return every man unto his possession. And ye shall return every man unto his family." A jubilee shall that 50th year be unto you. "Ye shall not sow, neither reap that which groweth of itself in it, nor gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed. For it is the jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this jubilee, ye shall return every man unto his possession." You say, what in the world? Well, do you remember when they came into the land, Joshua divided the land and gave each of the 12 tribes a specific area. The elder of that tribe then gave all the heads of the families in his tribe gave them property. That's yours. And they all said, oh, okay, thanks. Well, things happen, don't they? Things happen. I mean, you could break your leg and you can't work. So what are you going to do? You say, well, I'm going to sell my property so I have money to eat. Smart move. Smart move. Because you see, in 50 years, when that year of Jubilee rolls around, and it might be the 40th year, so you only got 10 years to wait. And when that year of Jubilee comes along, what happens? You get your land back. All right, nod your head. You with me on that? Now, let's suppose that here's year one, here's year 49, somewhere in between here, something happens, all right? Oh, like Ruth, for example. Remember that? And Ruth said, I can't get the property. I mean, my mother-in-law died, my father-in-law died, my husband died. And I can't get their property. And so, old Boaz, you know, he came down and he saw her and he thought, wow. And so he said, now look at verse 23. The land shall not be sold. What's the next word? Forever. All right, now remember what we're talking about, folks. All right, what are we talking about? We're talking about the earth is the Lord's. Yes, it's been hijacked. All right, but notice the land shall not be sold forever. Why? God says, for the land is, what's the next word? Mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me, and in the land of your possession ye shall grant a redemption for the land. So what is this? This is the kinsman redeemer. If you have a kinsman in your family, someone you're related to, they are kin folks. All right, you got that? Kin folks. You can go to the kin folks and you can say, can you come and pay the price for this land for me? And I will pay you back as best I can. All right, hardship is hit. And so the kinsman says, sure. So the kinsman comes down, pays the price, and the land is now back in the family hands. Now, folks, listen, here it is. Here it is. Think. In between the two Jubilees, you have verse 25, the law of the kinsman redeemer. If thy brother be waxen poor, and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. So he can, the kinsman can buy back the land. All right? Now, think, folks, who created the earth and all that is in it? God did. The earth belongs to God, but who is the God of this world today? Satan, exactly. Now watch, the only one able to redeem the earth would be the Creator himself or someone in the family. You with me? All right. And so John tells us in John 1:14 that the Word, that God became flesh and dwelt among us. So the only one who could redeem the earth would be the Creator himself or the family. And in order for him to be a kinsman of Adam, who lost his estate in Genesis 3 to the devil, the kinsman had to become a second Adam. You got that? So he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, our kinsman redeemer. Now, question, what would be the redemptive price? Well, cannot be money. I mean, how would you put a dollar amount on the whole earth? You couldn't. There's no way. But 1 Peter 1:18 tells us that the redemptive price for creation was the precious blood of the Lamb. John 1:29 tells us that the blood of Christ takes away the sin of the world. What we have in Revelation 5, folks, is the kinsman redeemer taking authority and control of the purchased possession. Go ahead and let the heathen rage. But Christ will claim the throne of this world. Let the liberals and the modernists and the new agers and the rest of them play church and mock God. But Christ will claim what the devil has stolen away through sin. Yes, right now, Satan is the god of this world. He controls the affairs of men. He runs the affairs of the seen world. He uses unsuspecting man to control the rest of society. And he uses the flesh, and he uses religion and money and lust and drugs and alcohol and gambling and sports and education and the intellect and pride and self-righteousness and who knows what else in order to control men. But one day his lease is going to run out. And that's what Revelation 5 is all about. God is going to say, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. And the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And so the book is open in chapter 5. Chapter 6, tribulation period begins. And judgment and wrath are poured out. You know what I say? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. That make sense to you? All right, good. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you so much for this precious promise that our Redeemer is coming back to claim what's his. Father, he created the heaven and the earth, everything. He created us. He created all the animals. And Father, that's why during the millennium, we're going to see the lion tame and lay down with the lamb. We're going to see the asp tame, and a little child will play with the poisonous snake. And Father, you're going to bring everything back the way it was supposed to be in the beginning. And we just rejoice in that. We're looking forward to that day when you redeem this old earth. And Father, we're thankful for the plan. We're thankful for the process. And I pray that you will just help us to be patient and not get weary in well-doing. So bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.